I oppose the churchmen who want to control government. I oppose the government who wants to control church. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render to God that which is God's. And then pay attention to what's going to happen. And thank God we'll be gone when this happens. It's the Jews that are going to suffer. But the spirit of the false prophet's already working. Well, let me look at this beast one more time and then close it. 17th chapter says, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Here he is again. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colors, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Let me tell you, there is nothing worse than a false church to persecute the true church. The angel said to me, how come you're amazed at this, John? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. Now let me back up and lay the tracks again. Daniel saw the history of the kingdoms that grew out of Nebuchadnezzar. The head was the Babylonian, the shoulders and the arms the Medo-Persian, the torso the Greek, the thighs and the legs the Roman, the 10 toes the reconstituted Roman Empire. Daniel had an angel interpret the beast that rose out of the sea, the lion that was the Babylonian, the bear that was the Medo-Persian, the leopard that was the Grecian, the monstrous, ugly, unnamed beast that had the 10 horns, the Roman Empire, out of which would grow the 10 horns. He saw the he-goat with the horns, the two images of the goat and the image of the nondescript beast produce horns, and another little horn that's another kingdom that uproots 3 of the 10 and establishes himself as ruler over all of them in an 8th kingdom. Now this beast is being ridden by the false church. The false prophet is now seen as a woman riding upon the beast, getting its strength and power from this last world kingdom and its ruler. The angel says, why are you marveling? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest, not the heads, not the horns, this beast, this last kingdom that the woman is riding on, the union between the false prophet and the Antichrist are the persons. The union between the church and the kingdom is the church, the religious world church, and the beast is that last kingdom in this case. I'll tell you the mystery of it. The beast that thou sawest was. That means it existed at one time on this earth and was not. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. It was here at one time. It isn't here now. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Now this is what Bible scholars call the beast out of the abyss. Now hang tight with me. You're going to get into Revelation. You're into a book that the Catholic Church for centuries told its people not to read. So complicated it would confuse. You're in the book where the preacher of the Word, if he fulfills the responsibility of the Ephesian letter as God's gift minister to the church, will bring you to a unity of the faith, to a knowledge of the perfect man, till we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. But it's not easy. I'll keep hitting them over and over again till you'll become as familiar as with the book of Nehemiah in the weeks ahead. But this beast once was and now is. Now the beast is a symbol of the Antichrist kingdom. You'll never understand this beast until you see he is symbolizing three different things in all these same passages. He is symbolizing the personal ruler of that last Antichrist kingdom. He's symbolizing the Antichrist himself. And that symbol receives detail in the book of Daniel as the little horn that uproots other horns of the ten kingdoms and establishes himself as the ruler over all. The beast is that Antichrist. The beast is also that kingdom. As Babylon is the false prophet, and Babylon is the false church, and Babylon is a locatable city that is the seat of the false church, likewise, the beast is the symbol of the personal Antichrist, is the symbol of the kingdom of the personal Antichrist, and is thirdly the symbol in this case of the prince of evil, released from the abyss where he's been bound, to once again take possession of an earthly ruler and rule through him. We're back to Daniel again. Daniel prayed. As I've been teaching this week, when he understood by the books the time of bondage in Babylon, that young man that kept himself pure in Nebuchadnezzar's court now is clear into the reign of successor kings. He began to pray, and for 21 days he prayed. Suddenly an angel appeared, told him to stand on his feet and began to talk to him. And he said, "The reason I'm here is because you prayed. I heard your prayer 21 days ago. And I've come because of that prayer you prayed 21 days ago. But the prince of Persia resisted me. And I was only able to make it here even though it took 21 days. Because I remained with those rulers of Persia." Good land, not the king of Persia. Daniel was praying in the same place the king of Persia was, the earthly king. But in the dominions of this world, as Ezekiel could prophesy against the prince of Tyre, and suddenly you see through the earthly ruler and see that he's not prophesying against the king earthly who ruled Tyre. He's prophesying against the prince of Tyre, that is the satanic, supernatural, devilish being that rules that kingdom as his domain under God's grant. Because suddenly the prince of Tyre becomes Lucifer. And he begins to see Lucifer before he was cast down, when he lifted himself up in pride in Eden before there was any man. Again, the prince of Persia here is not that king that Daniel could walk out the door and knock on the door of the king and talk to. The angel hadn't been 21 days in that king's court. He had been. Daniel was there too. But the seat of authority for that supernatural reigning over the kingdom of Persia, that's where the prince of Persia was. And for 21 days before the angel from the throne of God could get to Daniel who was praying, he was resisted because he moved into the territory where that supernatural prince ruled. Took him 21 days and he only made it because Michael, the prince who was assigned to protect Israel and the people of Israel, came into the territory with him and interceded, and it took 21 days to get the passport to come into that prince's territory. When he gets done telling Daniel what's going to happen and strengthening Daniel, he says, "Now I'm going to go fight the prince of Persia." Didn't say how long he'd fight him. "But the next place I'll be," the angel said, "is fighting that prince of Persia. And when I'm done fighting him, and when I leave after that battle, lo, another prince will come, the prince of Grecia. And the prince assigned to rule the domain of Greece would now come in the form of the leopard. And that leopard, led by the mighty king, that would then break into four parts." Because Alexander didn't oppress Israel very much. But when he died, his four kingdoms broken up among his four generals, Greece and Thrace, Syria and Babylon, Egypt, all those four kingdoms that break out of Alexander's kingdom come to be dominated by Syria and Egypt. And as you trace the prophecies, one of them, Syria, in Daniel 11, the king of the north will conquer the king of the south, and Daniel 11 makes it clear that that last ruler that violates his agreement with Israel will come out of Syria, the king of the north. I put them all together. He said, I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was. Where was he? We're talking about the prince now that's going to come out of the bottomless pit. The third element of the beast. Not the Antichrist per se. Not the kingdom per se. The prince who ruled the kingdom when it was. What's the kingdom that was? The leopard kingdom. When Greece fell to Rome, Alexander the Great died. His four generals ultimately died. The kingdom fell to Rome. As the prince of Persia moved aside when the prince of Greece conquered Medo-Persia, when Rome conquered Greece, the prince that had been assigned to Greece that gave him the power to move into the sea, and he didn't just conquer Persia. The prince of Greece was able to move in and conquer Medo-Persia because the angel that talked to Daniel went back and fought with that prince and conquered him. God still controls it. The prince of Greece moved on the scene. Alexander was the historic ruler and his general's successor. The real ruler was the prince of Greece. When Rome and the prince of Rome brought the hordes of Rome down and Rome conquers Greece, the prince of Greece was not just left flying loose. He's assigned to the bottomless pit. There's going to be a phrase in Revelations that talks about vials being turned loose, and an angel comes down and looses the four angels that are bound at the river Euphrates. We may find the clue to where the prince of Persia went when the prince of Greece came. And we may find what happened when the angel left Daniel. He bound the prince of Persia. And they're not going to be released until this great tribulation, when they come forth with 200,000 thousands of demoniac horsemen to slay a third of the earth. Likewise, when those demon locusts are released out of the pit, there is a prince of evil called Apollyon, the destroyer, that comes to lead those locusts as they bring pain across the earth for the assigned days. The prince of Greece, the leopard kingdom, when the prince of Rome came, the prince was separate from Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great died. The prince was assigned to the bottomless pit and chained there. The angel is telling John, here's the mystery. This is the beast. He's one of those heads that was, but was slain. Greece died. But its wound is healed and brings amazement. It shocks anybody in the modern world to think that Greece could rise to prominence. It won't be that peninsula. It'll be the Syrian portion of it. The one threat to Israel is not Russia. Russia may be involved. It's not Khomeini, unless Khomeini becomes a part of the old Syrian Babylonian section of the Grecian Empire. Syria. Why do you think Syria is so intractable? For out of Syria will come the threat. The leopard will rise again. The slain head, wounded to death, will suddenly come alive. The little horn will rise up among the 10 constituted revised Roman Empire. We'll uproot 3 of them and defeat Egypt to the south. And Israel is compressed. Alexander died. The prince of Greece lived. He just was bound in the pit. He was when Greece the leopard ruled, and is not. Because when John's writing it, the prince of Rome is ruling. Shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That's the beast out of the abyss that will rule behind the scenes and give power
Satan's power, to the personal Antichrist, who will form the new kingdom out of the reconstituted Roman Empire, that will form the kingdom by uprooting three of the horns of those 10 horns and form again the Grecian Empire, particularly Syria and Egypt, will make his pact to give peace. You just watch the newspapers. When Syria, I hope you're not here to read them, when Syria and Egypt form a pact and suddenly a peace is made with Israel, look out, folks, if we're still here. Your redemption draweth nigh. The 10 horns, let me go on. The beast, I'm about done, so don't anybody run away. The beast that thou sawest was, that's the leopard. Greece is not, because it had been wounded to death. Rome conquered Greece. Shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Suddenly, he's seeing the future. That prince of Greece that's been assigned through the centuries in the bottomless pit will be turned loose to give power to a reconstituted Grecian ruler that will be the personal Antichrist and the beast in that sense. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder when they behold the beast that was Greece and is not at that time when John wrote, and yet is suddenly on the scene ruling. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. That's not Rome. There are only 7 great kingdoms that have persecuted Israel. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Roman, that's 6. The 6th one is when John was there. Next will come the 10 kingdoms. And there will rise, that's 7. There will rise up the 8th kingdom when the little horn receives the ascendance as Antichrist, and the beast out of the pit ruling through him gives him power. And the other 10 kingdoms, 3 of them uprooted, will give to him power to form not a loose confederation of 10 toes and clay, but a new world kingdom under the Antichrist, which is the little horn to whom the 10 kingdoms give power. Let's read it. These 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth, always, I haven't time to go through the Babylonian influence on the religion that God has tried to keep pure. There are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. He's talking to John on the Isle of Patmos. Who are the 5 that fell? Egypt, Assyrian Nineveh, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Grecian. 5 are fallen. 1 is. Which 1 is? The 6th one, Rome. And the other is not yet come. That's the 10 toes. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. That league of 10 out of the old Roman Empire will be very short-lived. He must continue a short space. And the beast that was, the kingdom will continue a short space. But the beast that was, the prince over Greece, the one that ruled the leopard kingdom, and is not, having been defeated by Rome, even he is the 8th. He is of the 7. What's the 7? The 10 toes, the 10 horns that come out of the one that is in John's day, Rome. He's out of the 7. Daniel shows us he'll uproot 3 of the 7, take his dominion, and the others will give it to him. He is of the 7 and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. John is there. The 6th one is. 5 fell. The 7th one is the 10 kingdoms. They haven't yet received a kingdom in John's day, but they'll get it. But they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. A very short space, the confederation is there. These have 1 mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. He won't have to conquer them. He'll uproot 3 of them. There'll be war between Syria and Egypt. And he'll uproot 3 of the horns. And reestablish the power seated in Syria, most likely. At its outset, and the other kings will have 1 mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. He saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. She'll come riding on the beast. That beast out of the abyss, he will give power to the false prophet. That kingdom, when it's first formed, will give surface honor to the false prophet and carry it around. The great false church will make its league with government. The ten kingdoms will establish the eighth kingdom by giving power to the beast out of the pit through his ruler Antichrist, which is the beast in personified historic ruler form. The minute the Antichrist gets that power, ten kingdoms will rise up to destroy the false church. The false church makes man bow down to the beast. The beast, when he gets his kingdom, through those very instruments of rulership, which is earthly government, shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Doesn't reign over the earth. The kings reign over the earth. But through religious power holds a hold upon the kings. That's the terrible day coming. But what about us? The Thessalonians, and with this I end, the Thessalonians were confused. They were in tribulation. They thought the end was on them. They thought the great tribulation was there, as I referenced earlier. Paul said, Now we beseech you, brethren, in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, traditionally, that's been interpreted as a vast falling away, and that's going to be historically true, because the religions of this world will follow the false prophet. It just doesn't happen to be good translation. Except there come a catching away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Scripture always confirms itself. You'll see this repeated a couple of verses later. The son of perdition. There's the Antichrist personified, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the blasphemy we just read about in Revelation. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, Paul talking, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, what holdeth back, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Old English, to let was to restrain. They still say in classical tennis, when the ball hits the net, they don't say net ball, they say let ball. Because the word meant at the time King James was written to restrain. Literally it should read, For the mystery of iniquity, that spirit of Antichrist at work, doth already work. Only he who now restraineth will continue to restrain until he that restraineth is taken out of the way. And then, only then, shall that wicked... And it's capitalized wicked, meaning that wicked man of sin, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, who? The wicked one, whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not in the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What's he saying? Don't get upset, you Thessalonians. Don't get upset, you folks, here in July 1980. Tribulation may be upon us. That man of sin is going to come. That beast will rise. That false prophet will rise. The spirit already works. We're fighting it. The spirit of the false prophet already works. It fights us. That man of sin will be revealed. The Roman Empire will loosely confederate itself together again in 10 kingdoms. Out of the 10 kingdoms, one will rise up that will uproot 3, and it'll be in the Syrian portion of the old Grecian Empire, and the other kingdoms of the 10 will give him power. The false prophet will work miracles to cause people to bow down, and that great established church will ride in pride on that beast. They'll destroy the church. Where are we? Gone. He can't. That beast can't come out of that confusion. That beast can't rise up because there's a restraining force. And that restraining force will restrain him until it's caught away, taken out of the way. We're going to be gone. The key to Revelations, where the church is, the 4th chapter. He just finished the last word about the church in the whole book. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Done with the church at that point, 4th chapter. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And John becomes the type of the church being caught up. That's the rapture. The word's only used once in the New Testament when Philip is picked up on the Gaza Strip, and it says in the Greek, he was raptured, caught away, and appeared instantly in Jerusalem. From that word comes the designation of what happens. A restraining force. The church, before the 70th week, where God again turns to deal with the old olive tree, the grafted wild branch. Suddenly, the church, the people that have accepted Christ, they're caught up. And they're in heaven. The 24 elders typify all the saints of the Old Testament and the church. They're there. What I've been reading in Revelation goes on down here. We're gone. Say, you believe that? Sure do. I believe Jesus came out of the tomb, pierced a rock, pierced a door, and sailed off to glory. And they were looking up at him. The angel said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come again." We're gone. All this happened. That's why I said, I hope you don't read in the newspaper, Syria conquered Egypt. If you do, you better walk with one eye on the sky. We have a blessed hope. Not a hopeless wrath to look forward to. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up in a twinkling of an eye. And those that are dead in Christ shall rise. We're up there. And we come back. After this beast is risen, after the 10 kings have given him power, after the church has been destroyed, after Babylon, the city of the established church, has been wiped out in a day, after the Antichrist begins to get concerned about rumblings to the north and the east, the vial has dried up the river Euphrates that the way might be made for the kings of the east. And there is a gathering for conflict in the plain of Megiddo. John says, "I saw heaven opened," Revelation 19, "and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And on his thigh was written, his name is the Word of God." And it's the same Greek word that opens John's Gospel. We know it's Jesus. "There goeth forth out of his mouth a sharp sword." Where are we? Just before that sword goes out, it says, "The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses,
dressed in fine linen, white and clean, the symbol of being clothed with His righteousness, which took us up there. And there goeth forth out of His mouth a sharp sword, that with it He shall smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth in the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's Jesus coming. We're behind Him. Then John says, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat of the flesh of kings, and of the flesh of captains, and of the flesh of mighty men, and of the flesh of horses, and of the flesh of them that sit upon them, and of the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies with them, gathered together to fight against Him that sat upon the horse, and against His armies. The beast was taken, and the false prophet with him, that wrought miracles before him, by which he deceived the people to take the mark of the beast. These both were cast into the lake burning with fire and brimstone, and the remnant of them were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, and the fowls were filled with the flesh of them. It's right out of Revelation 19. And I saw an angel, he turns into the 20th chapter, come down from heaven having a great chain in his hand, and a key to the bottomless pit. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit. Then he says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth did flee away, but there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before him, and the books were opened, and every man was judged out of the things that were written in the books. Another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake burning with fire and brimstone. Then he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You say, you believe that? Sure, if I can believe he went through that rock and sailed off, I believe this one. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And God Himself shall be with them, and shall dwell with them, and shall be their God, and they shall be His people. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Satan is bound in the bottomless pit. The beast and the false prophet have been defeated. The new Jerusalem comes down. New heaven and new earth, new king, no sin, we'll rule and reign with him throughout eternity. If you don't believe that, why are you a Christian? That's our destiny. And as Peter said, we ought to act like it. Don't succumb to the false prophet in spirit preaching in the land, to take the cheap imitation, the warning of Hebrews, the bowl of pottage that Esau sold his birthright for. Hang on till we all march in.